And perfectly on cue, we have a jet taxiing through to give us a little background noise for our next guest. Is Eric Witt. He's the Deputy Command Historian for Headquarters of Air Force Special Operations Command in Florida. Eric, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here, Steve. Yeah, nice to meet you.
And I understand this is your first time here.
It is, and growing up in Chicago, I'm surprised I never made it up this way before I joined the Air Force.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background and your time with the Air Force.
Well, I started enlisted in 85 and did maintenance, so it was air ground equipment. The support equipment you see around a lot of the aircraft began on that, did that for 15 years. Fortunately, or unfortunately sometimes, I was able to retrain and became an Air Force historian as an enlisted person, and then retired and went into the civilian world, working for Department of Defense as a historian. So I've covered F-16s from the 27th Fighter Wing out at Cannon, B-2 bombers, a lot of command and control stuff, forward and back operations. And then in 2009, I moved into Special Operations Command, did a lot of staff writing for that, and then went over to Europe and did headquarters in Europe. I covered a lot of there for a few years and came back, and now I'm a little higher up on the chain, get to run things instead of write things, so it's nice.
There you go. How does one train to be a historian?
Well, it was interesting. As enlisted, we didn't have to have a history degree, but we needed to do some things that could prove our worth, and you had to have at least 18 credit hours. So a lot of them that became historians earned their bachelor's and master's degree after they retrained into the field, and they teach you research and writing and things like that. And a lot of it is handling classified information and making sure we archive that properly. And then, over the years you grow in that, and really it's seat of your pants. You know, this is awkward for me in a little bit because I'm used to asking veterans questions and commanders questions instead of having to answer it myself. So.
What if we had to put down a job description, what would it be? What does your daily day look like?
Primary duty is to research and write on current operations. So you can imagine in special operations, especially the amount of pressure on that to get that story right and get all those operations that are going on, which, you know, they're all over the place, getting that consolidated, writing the accurate story, making sure, you know, the general knows what we're doing. And having that archive so, you know, when things become unclassified or even some of the unclassified stuff, researchers can get to that and write the true story of what's happened, you know, in the wars.
And how far back does the historian division in the Air Force go? Is it all the way back to the very first days of the Air Force?
Sure. Hap Arnold was instrumental in starting that program, and it was important to him. Without that, and I, personally, I think the Air Force has the best out of the services history program, and he made sure a lot of that was done. The markings on these planes, the squadrons that ran them, the operations they did, especially on the planes you see here, I've been amazed at some of the accuracy of that. They got that because Hap Arnold made sure that that was collected and happened that way.
Excellent. Well, we're at an airport. What can you expect?
I love
it. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it too. All the great noise from all of these airplanes. We'd like to talk a little bit about Desert Storm. You were there as on the ground deployed, but also that's one of your areas of expertise as far as being a historian.
Sure. And if you look at that, because we're at the special operations side of it. You know, when I was deployed for that, I was actually in Guam. So it was a lot of the buildup and the B-52s and all that. And then you know, moving the bombs forward off of there. So it was a busy time for us. And going into special operations, I didn't know a lot of that. But coming into it and seeing what they did in Desert Storm was really instrumental. Because you have to remember, a year prior to that, in May 1990, we finally became a major command, AFSOC did. And then before you know it, we're turning around in August, September, and going over to the desert. So a lot of the lessons in how we're operating today came from that early time. So,
What kind of equipment and personnel were deployed for special operations?
I think immediately was getting our gunships forward. And also our MH-53s, because they were concerned with search and rescue, of course. And if you remember back then, September, we didn't know it was going to be several months before they actually started it. So they were ready to go within days and ended up at King Fahd in Saudi Arabia. And then, of course, our MH-53 payloads were really key to opening the air war that night, too. So.
With everything that was happening there, were there any difficulties in logistics moving everything from the United States basically halfway around the world?
I think, I looked at it from command and control side, where they bedded down in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, but putting planes where they needed to go was an important part, getting them there quick and getting them ready, getting people housed. And then they moved to a few bases before they were really set up. So, sure, it was difficult, but AFSOC, even today, we can move at the flick of a switch. So,
what, just in general, for those who don't know, what is the mission and the overall, I guess, thrust of special operations?
Well, I think if we have them over here, too, combat controllers and some soft medical people. I think what gives us the flexibility is our people, and that's always the most important thing. So we see the beautiful planes. We bring the firepower. It needs to go there, but the people that get in there to open those airfields in obscure places and to do the medical that needs to be done right away, I think, when we look at that mission is get there fast and be able to perform our mission right away. It really gives us the flexibility that the Air Force and our country needs.
The historic records that have been compiled through the years, is how do people access those?
If we keep them at the major command, right? But we have a commitment to Maxwell Air Force Base and our Air Force Historical Research Agency there. So you can not only get our written records of that, but all the supporting documents that support what we write. And that's what makes us so factual and accurate. I was talking to somebody earlier. We can't write anything down that we don't have something to base the fact on. So terrific stuff if you're ever doing some college research and stuff is contact AFHRA. You'll find them online, too. I hope you can hear me, right?
Yeah, we can hear you over the sound of the tri-motor.
I love it. Look at that.
Taxiing in behind us.
Yeah.
Now, do you work with the Air Force Museum as well?
A little bit. We're really involved in heritage because we have to tell our story to people, too. So we're not only locked in a vault writing the stories, having to know what's gone back to World War II, especially with AFSOC, and then display those things. And if you know that, the museum owns everything in the Air Force. So we're begging and we're trading with them. Our air park is beautiful at Hurlburt, but that's all owned by the National Museum. Right now we're working on, if people know the story of the carpetbaggers in World War II, is getting that story told a little better, putting some displays up, especially around our base. That was secret for so long, and now that kind of stuff's coming out. And we work with the museum to get that.
You mentioned working with veterans. Do you do that as a written or recorded sort of interview?
Yeah, it's important. In fact, our the other historian that's with me today, she's an intern with us. She's going to do a real historian interview with him, Hardy. I'm sorry, Colonel Hardy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and
Tuskegee Airman.
Yeah, he was Tuskegee, and everybody knows that. But they don't know that he flew the AC-119 in Vietnam. So we have some gaps in our history. I said that's a perfect opportunity to get those filled in. Because no matter what the situation reports and the misrep reports, getting that personal knowledge, and he's been there and he's pulled the trigger and he's seen it, that's invaluable. So, all the way back to World War II. And like I said, I'm more comfortable interviewing than being interviewed.
And how do you, because the eyewitness accounts are often different, how do you reconcile what actually happened with what you may have heard from this person or this person? How do you reconcile and come up with it?
Yeah, that's where a lot of
hope is the truth.
That's where the research comes in, and that's where we have to prove things. And especially after it's been several years. And, you know, could be a little difficult because it's very personal to people when they've been there. So trying to learn those skills to not overwalk that line, but to get the truth and match it up. You know, so say they were in Da Nang and you're over here saying Tansanute, you know. But you can rectify that. And sometimes it's proven by them and our stuff is way wrong.
It's amazing. And it must be fascinating work. And so glad that you're putting the history together so you can share it with current and future generations.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. And you will be on a heritage panel tonight at Theater in the Woods?
There's a heritage panel. I won't be up there, but we'll have some people up there. I encourage them to see that. You want to see the Spooky is down there. The gunship is going to fly with the AC-130J on the heritage flight this weekend. And we also have the 1st Air Commando Group painted up at the end there with the five stripes on that C-47. So that's all AFSOC related, and it's beautiful stuff.
Good. Well, enjoy the panel tonight. I'm sure they'll finish up just in time for the night air show, and you can enjoy that as well.
Great. Thanks for time, Steve.
Thank you. All right. Eric Witt is the Deputy Command Historian for Headquarters Air Force. Air Force Special Operations Command at Hurlbut Field in Florida. What a way to end the show there with the sound of freedom. Tomorrow morning, we will be talking with Young Eagles Chair Sean Tucker. Also welcome Lisa Taylor from the Wasp Museum in Sweetwater, Texas. And Ron Kaplan talks about the National Aviation Heritage Invitational. That's all coming up tomorrow on From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and you're listening to EIA Radio.